Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be in God's house, isn't it? Amen. Amen. And I thank you, Pastor Bill, so much for the privilege of allowing us to come and share ministry here with the wonderful folks at Bedford First. We've been coming to this church for many decades and preaching in this church and other locations, but the same church. But what a delight to be back with you, friends, and to enjoy the presence of the Lord here today and to see each of you and to worship God together. Thank you so much. And those of you joining us online, we want to welcome you to the service and trust that the word will be an encouragement to all of us today. How many are where I am today, and you're just kind of over 2020? I'm done. I've been fried. I'm glad it's over. But you're going to have to indulge me this morning because my message title is A 2020 Vision of 2020. You see, we do have to get our focus right. We've got to shift our focus from what frightens us to the one who saves us. We've got to get our focus off of all the bad and negative, and there was plenty of it in 2020, and learn the lessons that God has given us from the experience that we've just gone through together. And that's what a 2020 vision of 2020, the message this morning, is really all about. They say hindsight is 2020. Not always. That's why we're preaching the message today. When you look at 2020, what do we see? Well, all I could see was tragedy everywhere, tension everywhere, tragic fires, tragic floods, a tragic worldwide pandemic, a virus that brought sickness and loss of life and livelihoods and loss of freedoms and isolation and loneliness. Did you know that they have a word of the year every year? The people at Oxford Dictionary, they select a word of the year. And part of how they select it is by the number of hits they get on their online dictionary asking for a definition or what this means. And sometimes the word of the year is a phrase. Like in 2017, the word of the year was youthquake. In 2019, the word of the year was toxic. In 2018, the word of the year was climate emergency. In 2020, what is the word of the year for 2020? Well, you know what happened? They had so many words of the year for 2020 that they selected 10 words for the word of the year for 2020. The number one, you know, I nominated social distancing. That'd be a good word of the year for 2020, wouldn't it? But the word that came out on top was pandemic. Pandemic. But that doesn't really describe it, does it? Because it was much more than a pandemic. It was much more than the results of a deadly disease. When we looked around, we didn't just see all those things that I just mentioned, but we saw racial tensions. And maybe some of you noticed there was a little bit of political tension in the air. And all these things were leading to much fear, doubt, uncertainty, perplexity, discontent, and an overwhelming, soul-crushing anxiety. So many people are suffering from anxiety because of all the things we saw last year. You see, instability has become the new normal. Instability has become normalized from our experience last year. But when I look at that tragic list of terrible things that happened in 2020 that we've all been so much aware of and lived through and lost loved ones through and suffered through, I thought of another list that I find in the Word of God. Jesus' disciples came to him and they said, "Jesus, tell us what the signs are of the end of the age and of your coming. What are the signs? So we'll know that it's time for you to return." Well, he began to list them off. Wars and rumors of wars. And earthquakes, natural phenomena, false prophets, lawlessness, pestilence. I looked up the definition of pestilence, and it's a fatal epidemic, a pandemic, a virus. That's what pestilences are. And one of the other things in the list that Jesus gave was, many will be offended. Have you ever seen more people offended than you saw in 2020? Everybody was offended. If you wore a mask, that offended someone. If you didn't wear a mask, that offended someone. If you had church, that was offensive. If you didn't have church, that was offensive. It doesn't matter what you did in 2020. Many people were offended. All the things, in fact, that I listed on the list of things that we saw in 2020 are on the list that Jesus gave to let us know that it's time for His return. It's time for the end of the age. In fact, He said, when you begin to see these things come to pass, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. How many want to be done with all this trash that's in our world? How many want to be done with the offenses and the wars and the panic and the lawlessness? We saw lawlessness in the streets, and we saw the pestilence. Yes, we did. And false prophets. I've never heard so many false prophecies as I heard last year. And they're continuing into this year. But it tells me that Jesus is preparing for His return. And that's good news, friends. You want to be rid of all this negative stuff? You want to put all the 2020 list of tragedies behind us? Well, then you've got to help fulfill the last sign that Jesus mentioned in His list. He said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached unto all people, and then the end shall come." You want to bring Jesus back? You want to speed up His return? Then spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world until everyone has had an opportunity to accept or reject the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. When this gospel, and this is the generation that actually do it, we're going into places that we've never been before through methods that we've never had before, because Jesus is preparing to return. And church, it's time to just lift your hand up and say, "Thank you, Jesus. He's coming back." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's coming back. Romans 8, verses 18 through 24. This begins our scripture today. "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal to us later." Verse 19, "For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who His children really are. Against His will, all creation was subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope, The creation looks forward to the day when it will be joined God's children in the glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning. How many heard the groaning in 2020? How many felt the groaning and the agony of spirit? The whole world has been groaning. Why? Well, it's not groaning for useless pain, just for the sake of pain. As in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present, something new is about to happen. New life is coming to this world. New life is coming to the kingdom of God. And we are going to step from time into eternity. We're going to step from now into forever, because Jesus is coming back again. And yes, there's a groan, and we've heard the groan, and we've groaned in our spirits, and the whole world is groaning because we need to birth new life in the church and new life in the kingdom of God and bring new children of God into the kingdom of God. And we believers also groan. Even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, is a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. How many say amen to that? We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as adopted children, including the new bodies He has promised us. Wow, I may get a new right hand, for real, huh? A new body. Next verse, verse 24, here's the promise. We were given this hope when we were saved. We were given this hope when we were saved. You've had this hope in your spirit and in your heart from the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But all of these outside pressures and all of the pandemics of the world and all of the fears of the world have come in upon us. So we need to look with faith and hope to that, have that hope renewed. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently for it. Faith is not believing that God can. It's knowing that God will. Hallelujah. We have to choose faith or fear. Faith or fear. Listen to this definition of fear. Fear is believing that what you cannot see will come to pass. That's an accurate definition, isn't it? But listen to this definition of faith. Faith is believing that what you cannot see will come to pass. They're the same. But faith and fear are totally different. You alone have the power to align your feelings with your faith. Now, I brought along a pair of my daughter Mandy's sunglasses for this part of the message. And is it? Thanks. I was going to say that these aren't my glasses because for several reasons, on several levels, they're wrong for me. One, they're ladies' glasses. Two, they're not prescription glasses, so you got kind of fuzzy out there. I know Pastor Bill's there. I saw him. And I know Candy's over there, but I can't really see her clearly. And they're dark. So it got dark in here, and I know that Pastor Bill paid the light bill. I'm sure he did. But you see, you got to understand what lens you're looking at life through. If you are living in fear, if you are seeing everything through the lens of fear, then fear is believing what you cannot see will come to pass, and It will. But I want you to take off fear. Put on the lens of faith. Oh, there you are. Put on the lens of faith and allow God to reveal what marvelous things are ahead for us. This is the only way that we can put the negative and the losses and the agony and the anxiety of the past and present behind us. You see, you've got to choose faith over fear today. Fear activates the enemy, but faith activates God. Fear attracts the darkness, but faith attracts the light. Fear attracts the negative, but faith attracts the positive. Fear paralyzes, but faith energizes. It's time to choose faith today, child of God. You can't live under the shroud and in the darkness of fear. You've got to live in the light and the living hope that God gives us through faith. Amen. We've got to see everything through the eyes of faith. You don't even have to have the answers to your questions to have faith in God. You can trust Him no matter what you're facing. Next slide. In order to see 2020 clearly, we must use the lens of faith. Without the lens of faith, we'll look up and we'll see doubt. We'll look forward and see despair. We'll look around and see division and turmoil. You can still see it in 2021, I'm sorry, if you're looking and living in fear. In 2019, 8.2% of adults in the United States showed signs of an anxiety disorder. But in July of 2020, 36% of adults showed signs of anxiety and of an anxiety disorder. Four times. Suicides are at an all-time high, all age groups, especially the young. Why? Because we've been living in fear. We've been living with the anxieties that are pressed upon us and groaning in our spirits, but we've got to cast off the fear and begin to look at everything through the eyes of faith. And there may be someone listening online today, or someone in this beautiful auditorium worshiping with us, and you know Jesus, you love Jesus, you follow Jesus, but you're still fighting a battle with overwhelming feelings of anxiety. We can all relate to that. You're not alone. You feel like you failed God. Anxiety is a complicated physiological, emotional, situational, and spiritual problem. You need a holistic solution. I can't treat you. You need doctors and physical exercise and maybe supplements, maybe even prescriptions or meds or counseling. But there is a spiritual side to anxiety. There's a spiritual side to depression. There's a spiritual side to living in fear. And the remedy is in Jesus Christ. Remember that Jesus himself was anxious. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, Mark 14:34 from the Message Bible says, he plunged into a sinkhole of dreadful agony. Sounds like he was pretty depressed. If even Jesus can get down, we know we can get down. But we don't stay down because God is with us. Because we are going to see things through the lens of our faith and trust in God. And when we do, we're going to believe that the things that we cannot see are going to come to pass. You feel like God doesn't love you? The truth is, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You feel alone? The truth is, he said it over and over, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the promise of God. And then sometimes you feel worried about your finances or about your work. The Bible says, My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. I'm telling you, throw away the lenses of fear. Focus on the one who saves us, not the problem that you're facing right now. Look to Jesus. Focus on him. You feel like you can't go on? Someone feels that way today. You just feel like you can't go on. The word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can go on. You can succeed. You can make it through. You can. You feel like a victim? I'm here to tell you, you're not a victim. You are a victor in Jesus Christ our Lord. He gives us the victory. He makes us victorious no matter how low we are. Here's another promise from Romans. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing. That is, hearing the good news about Christ. You want to know how to get faith? You don't want to know how to look with eyes of faith on your life and your world and our world today? Well, get into the Word. Stop watching the news. Stop reading the newspaper and pick up your Bible. Start reading the Word of God and let him speak to you. Because when you read the Word of God, how does faith come? Is it just dropped in your lap? Oh, no. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the good news about Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen to that good news. Speak that good news. Read that good news. Read it aloud. Have it read to you. Give it to somebody else. Share the good news, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the good news about who Jesus is. Psalm 56:4 says, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. Here's a principle that we learn here. The principle is that faith is an attitude of the soul. Faith is an attitude of the soul. Now, when we use the lens of faith and we look up, we're going to see trust and confidence. When we look forward, we're going to see hope. When we look around, we're going to see peace. I remember when I was a child growing up in First Assembly of God in West Terre Haute, Indiana. I remember on Sunday morning, we had high church on Sunday morning. They sang from the hymnal, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. And the organ played, and we worshiped God. But Sunday night was camp meeting. Sunday night was country. Sunday night, all the instruments were playing, and all the people were singing. And one of my favorites was, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I'm telling you, child of God, you can't sink when you're standing on the rock of ages, when you stand on Jesus and his word. He will sustain you. He will keep you. You're going to make it. Take off the lens of fear and put on the lens of faith. Romans 8:28. This is a very popular verse of Scripture, very often quoted. And I think we miss a lot that's here. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are the called according to his purpose for them. Everything in 2020? Everything? Everything that happened to you? Everything? Notice what it doesn't say. It says, and we know. It doesn't say, and we think. Or, and it's a good possibility that. Perhaps. No. It says, and we know. And how do we know? Well, we know because this is God's word. and what he says is true. God is not a liar. Hallelujah. His word is true. So we know that all things work together for the good. Now notice, that's what it says, but notice what it does not say. It does not say everything that happens to the child of God is going to be good. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that everything's going to be coming up roses all the time. It doesn't say it's all sunshine and flowers. It doesn't say it's all birds singing in the trees. No. Everything that happens, the good, the bad, the mundane, the indifferent, he can cause good to come to us out of that. You see, something that doesn't result in your happiness can still work out for your good. You've heard me tell the story of when I was age 16, my arm was entangled in a meat grinder, waited 20 minutes for an ambulance attendant to arrive. They had taken the end off the grinder, my ring finger, the first knuckle was lying on the floor, 45 bones were crushed and mangled, 3 main arteries were severed. When the ambulance attendant came in, he began to examine me and he said, "Son, who put a tourniquet on your arm?" And everyone looked around and no one had put a tourniquet on my arm. He said, looking at the first knuckle, the ring finger on the floor, and my flesh in the end of the grinder hanging out, he said, "Well, then where's the blood? I should have bled out in 20 minutes. I should have died. But instead, I didn't bleed." Now, some people try to explain that, and they say, "Well, what happened was your arm got entangled in that auger in there, and it was so tight that it shut off the blood flow so you couldn't bleed. It served as a tourniquet for it." And you know what I say to that? Well, if that's what you believe, that's fine. Then the instrument, the meat grinder, that the devil chose to take me out, God used it to save my life. So no matter what way you look at it, God performed a miracle, spared my life on that day so that I could come here today and repeat good news about Jesus Christ to you so that faith could be built up in your hearts. Now, was I happy to lose my right arm? Every day after that to this day, I wake up without a right arm and hand. But has God brought good in my life because of that? Oh, yes, he has. Over and over and over again. Just a few years ago, I was helping Candy set up a display, and I raised up my arm to hang a banner up, and I dislocated my shoulder. It just fell out. It was here, and then it was down here. Great pain. They rushed me to the emergency room, and they finally got it back in, and then we began the trek of going to doctors to find out what need to do. For 6 months, all I could do was move this arm from the elbow down. I couldn't raise out or reach out. I couldn't pick up a glass of water except like this. And I couldn't get high enough to shave. I had to put my elbow on my stump so I could shave or brush my hair. Candy literally had to do everything for me for a time. And we went to 5 different specialists. We kept going to doctors because I didn't like the prognosis. They all said the same thing. They said, without a fiery nerve, there's nothing that can be done for Dave. A shoulder replacement, therapy, nothing will do any good because without a fiery nerve, that joint's never going to work. And that nerve, the axillary nerve's been severed in this and won't heal. So the last doctor we went to was called a salvage doctor. I've got it in writing from the previous doctor said he referred me to salvage doctor, Dr. So-and-so. And I didn't know there was such a thing, and it's kind of humbling to be sitting before one. But a salvage doctor's role is to find the best patch they can do to avoid further problems when they can't fix it. And so he gave us the same story. There's nothing that can be done. He said, "So Dave needs to go home and learn how to live with this." He said, "What I propose is that we fuse the shoulder to the rib cage." He said, "I'll do it so you can reach your pocket and your mouth." Well, that's all I could do. But I just didn't really want that to be all I could do for the rest of my life. And so we were getting ready to leave, and Candy said, well, Doctor, Dave and I are people of faith, and we have literally thousands of people all around the world praying for a healing in Dave's shoulder. And he said, well, Candy, I'll tell you like I tell all my patients. I'm a man of science, and I deal in the facts. And the fact is, without a fiery nerve, there's not anything that can be done for Dave. And so we left, very discouraged, downhearted, groaning in our spirits, focused on the negative. But I think it was 2 months later we were to go back to talk about scheduling the fusion of the shoulder to the rib cage. And so I went in, and I was sitting waiting on the doctor to come. They'd run some tests the day before. And so he walks through the door with all his paperwork in hand, and he says, well, Dave, how are you doing? And I said, I'm doing great, Doc. Raised my arm up, and he looked at me, and he looked down at his nose and says, well, this still shows that that left shoulder's paralytic. And so he began to examine me, and he measured how far I could raise it, and this way and that way and everything. After he's been examining me for a while, he just stops, and he looks at me, and he says, well, Dave, do you think you're better? I said, Doc, I couldn't raise my arm at all, and now I can do this. Yes, I think I'm better. He says, well, so do I. So what I want you to do is I want you to go home and keep doing what you're doing, and come back in 3 months, and we'll see whether it progresses or regresses. And so he still didn't believe. You know, the world's been dealing in the facts. They've been dealing in the facts. They want us to believe the science, and they want us to believe the facts, and the news, and the information that they're putting out there. But, you know, I came by to tell you not the facts, but I came to share with you the truth. And God's truth always trumps the devil's facts, no matter what. Amen. The fact may be that there's a pandemic, but the truth is, God still answers prayer. Amen. The fact may be I can never raise this left arm again, but the truth is, with God, all things are possible. I came to share the truth, and God's truth is stronger than the facts of this world and the facts that the devil wants us to focus on. Let's stop focusing on the facts. And let's focus on the truth, because the truth will build faith in our hearts, and we will see through eyes of faith the hope that is really ours. Romans 8:35. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? I love this translation here, that part I'm getting ready to read. Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ. Despite all the negative, despite all the facts, despite all the science, despite everything that is around us, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell, can separate us from God's love. Hallelujah! Stand on God's word, because nothing is going to happen to you that is beyond God's ability to use for your good. Nothing has happened to you that God cannot use for your good, and nothing will ever happen to you that God cannot use for your good if you will simply put your trust and your faith in Him. Romans 8:39, the last verse for today. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. I want you to stand on that verse. And I want you to stand to your feet right now. Because we're going to read that verse together as a proclamation of our faith. In just a moment, we're going to read it together as a proclamation of our faith. And what will happen is we'll be putting on the lens of faith as we proclaim this verse to be true for us. As we speak it, as we claim it for ourselves and for our family and for our friends and for our needs and our tragedies and our heartaches and our burdens that we carried into this place today. Or you at home, maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're at the lowest you've ever been. But I'm here to tell you, if you will stand on this promise, God will bring you through. He will give you hope in your heart. He will give you victory. And He will give you peace. He will be with you. He's promised that so very much. I'd like to have every head bowed and every eye closed for a moment now. And I just want you to lift your hand and tell me if you're in a situation where you need a divine intervention. You either need a healing or a financial miracle. There's something you need. You need God to intervene on your behalf. You're up against it. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. How many? Yes, God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. Hands are going. Yes, I see your hand up there. Yes, I see your hand. Yes, yes, I see your hands. God bless you up in the balcony. God bless you in the balcony. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray after we read this verse. You see, God is not the author of all the events of 2020 or 2021, but He is the master of every event then and beyond. Okay? Open your eyes. Look at the screen. We're gonna read it kind of slow. Just let it rebound from our inner man. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now lift your hands and praise Him for that. Hallelujah. Lord, we give You praise today because we know Your word is true. We're standing on the promises. We're standing on the promises right now, Lord. We're standing and believing You. No matter what comes our way, we know that You will be with us. We know that You will care for us. We know that You are the answer to our questions and You are the answer to our problems. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Hallelujah. 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 Pastor Bill's going to come in a moment and close the service out, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask. Well, eyes are closed once again. If there's anyone here or anyone online that hasn't made the commitment to serve Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that changes everything, friends. It changes everything. It changes you. It changes everything around you. If you will surrender your heart and life to Him, there's unconfessed sin in your heart, and you want to accept Jesus, you want to be a Christ follower, would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me. That is a decision I want to make today. There at home, I know I can't see it, but just put your hand up and say, yes, I want to accept Jesus. Lord, we pray that You will come into every heart and life in the sound of our voice right now. We pray that we will surrender everything to You and place all of our trust and confidence, our focus on You and the truth of Your word In Jesus' name we ask it and we accept it and we claim it and we believe it. In Jesus' wonderful name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You see, what God did not choose for us, He'll still use for us because He's God and He's in control.
Praise the Lord. You know, I feel that we need to do something, and I want us to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. There's some of you that lifted up your hand. You may not have the courage to do this, but I wonder if you would, as a step of faith this morning, just step out from where you're at. We're not going to come down and we're not going to get in your face or anything, but I feel like that there needs to be movement in faith. If you believe that God can bring the miracle that you're needing in your life, can I just invite you, just wherever you're at, balcony or whatever, will come and just stand down here at the altar. Say, Lord, I believe. I don't understand. I don't have all the answers. The facts may be against me, but I believe. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You know, I can think of three different times in the New Testament where the disciples were challenged because of the teaching of Jesus. And it was like they came up against it and they couldn't figure it out. Their minds wouldn't allow them to go beyond what they knew to be true. And Jesus, in each one of those instances, made the statement that nothing is impossible for God. Like, we forget that, church. We forget nothing is impossible for God. You say, yeah, but this doesn't exist. It doesn't matter. He's a creative God. Has everybody come that has? I would like for those of you in the congregation who will extend an arm of faith, and let's pray with these folks this morning that their miracle is on the way. Come on. Father in heaven, we thank you that our faith is not dependent upon what we know or understand. Our faith is not upon what we can see or even what the doctors have told us. Our faith is in you. And nothing is impossible for you. Right now, we set aside all the fear and all the doubt, and we proclaim in faith that you are going to get in the middle of the circumstances of these folks' lives. And in a very powerful and visual way, you are going to minister to their need. And as they come through it, they're going to know that only you could have taken care of their need. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we proclaim by faith the miracle.
Receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We don't know how, we don't know when, but we know who.
Yes, we believe
you. You are our God.
We believe you, Lord.
You are our healer. You are our strength. You are our deliverer. You are our peace. And nothing is impossible for you. And as we leave here today, Lord, we know that we will not darken that door before the enemy is going to be chasing us, trying to bring back the fear, trying to bring back the doubt. But I pray that your word that has been clearly presented to us this morning would rise and shout above the word of the enemy, and that we would take faith with us as we leave this house. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Church, say amen if you believe you can do it. So let it be. Praise the Lord. One last thing, and that is those of you that are up here, you've got to promise us that you will give testimony of what God has done. As the Lord brings your miracle, that you will not hold it to yourself, but you'll give the glory to the Lord and you'll let God's people know what God is doing. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord.